An official hello and welcome to CORE Volunteer Training. This is a weekly webinar of the Citizens Climate Lobby and Education that provides CCL supporters, especially new and newer supporters and leaders, easy access to training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I want to thank you for coming this evening. I know there's a lot of places you could be and a lot of things you could be doing instead of sitting in front of your screen listening to me and Drew talk, and you're here. So my name is Tamara Staton, in case we haven't met and you didn't know that. I am CCL's Education and Resilience Coordinator. I also get to be the Regional Director of the Greater Pacific Northwest. Really happy to be here with you talking tonight about communicating with conservatives. So let me introduce Drew. Drew serves as the Conservative Outreach Director. And in his role, he lends a conservative voice and perspective to the organization's mission while working to recruit and engage and retain those right of center in the pursuit of a sustainable world. Drew has a Bachelor of Science in both environmental management as well as occupational health and safety. And prior to joining Citizens Climate Lobby, he served in the United States Army for 12 years as a preventative medicine specialist and a medic, completing tours in both Iraq and Afghanistan. And outside of CCL, he has a deep passion for conservation as a sportsman and can be regularly found in the woods or on the water. And if that is you, feel free to drop a little note in the chat. Let us know what you like to do outside as a sports person. He's also the Georgia state lead for a nonprofit that provides outdoor opportunities for veterans and service members to help combat the 22 a day suicide rate. Drew's originally from State College, Pennsylvania, but currently lives in Evans, Georgia. And when he isn't working or hunting or fishing, he's spending time with his three daughters and his dogs. So we have a few learning goals this evening. We want to help you find or perhaps create a politically neutral environment wherever you are doing your CCLing. We want to, or otherwise, we also want to help you solicit non-confrontational discussion, which isn't always easy, but it is possible, almost always. And we want to help you communicate your perspective, and we will also talk about some things that you might not want to do with these goals in mind. So we'll be running through four sections: why we need political balance, some safe areas for positive discussion, building relationships and effective communication, and then we'll talk about some roadblocks to progress. And with that, I will pass the mic to you, Drew.
All right. Thank you, Tamara. All right. So one of the things, like exercises that I like to start out with this presentation is asking people, who am I? If you're new to CCL, or I know I've seen some faces in here that have been around for a minute, professionally, you guys all know that I am CCL's Conservative Outreach Director. Based on the bio that you just heard, I'm a former environmental compliance specialist in the Army, as well as with Georgia Environmental Protection Division. I'm an Army veteran. These are all professional labels, but none of it really connects to who I am as a person. The stuff where we all can find common ground. So I'm a father. I absolutely love my daughters. They're really the main driving reason why I'm here with CCL. Outdoorsman, every activity. Yes, I do like to hunt and fish, but you can catch me hiking, kayaking. Absolutely love nature and respect it and want to see it preserved. Animal lover, believe it or not, all of them. We have so many animals in this house. I've never met an animal I don't like. Art and music. Love taking my daughters to the art museum here, and walking around and talking to them about the different paintings they like. And I definitely joke around too much, as Tamara can probably tell you. I'm always up for a good joke or a good prank. But these are things that, we can really build a foundation, a relationship over. So these are the important qualities to get out of somebody, not just their labels and who they are because of some job title that they fill. All right, so for section one, why do we want political balance in Citizens Climate Lobby? Why do we want political balance at all when addressing any issue? All right, so having conservatives and other people that are, consider themselves right of center, it helps provide a balanced message. It's the yin yang approach. It definitely demonstrates our organizational values of being nonpartisan and diversity. Yes, here at CCL, conservatives fall into that diversity category. We want to show that climate is an issue that affects everybody, to include conservatives. So we want conservative voices speaking up from conservative perspectives, delivering a conservative message of why we want our elected officials to, work together to address this issue. It promotes open-mindedness and respect. Without CCL, there's a lot of people that I probably never would have talked to. But coming to CCL, working with people who are different than I am has really opened up my personal, my own mind. And help me to understand where other people come from and lenses that they look through issues on, so that I can be considerate of their perspective when coming up with solutions on how to approach a difficult situation. It increases participation. You're much more likely to get other right of center individuals into your chapter, your group, whatever, if you already have conservatives there. They feel more comfortable. We have like-minded individuals. I'm more willing to come to your meetings. And then they're the trusted messenger. If you find yourself more left of center and uncomfortable in right of center situations, having somebody in your group or your chapter that can navigate those, social scenarios, it definitely helps out. They can go and deliver the message in a manner that will be much more, it will be better received. All right, so as we move through here, these are some things to consider throughout the lesson. Avoid lumping conservatives together. I know we like to paint things with a broad brush. Try not to do that. Conservatives are a very diverse group, as well, which we'll see here in a bit. We're going to talk about earning trust. How to tell a compelling story that takes away all that professional characteristics and moves into the personal side. Manage your expectations. You are not going to win every single conversation, but you should have every single conversation. And then make it positive. Typically on the right side of this, we're not about the doom and gloom, the crisis. We want to hear what we can do, how we can do it, and what the benefits of doing it are. All right, so like I said, don't lump conservatives into one big group. As you can see by this list, there are many different types of conservatives. We just had our conservative conference, and the room was as diverse as any other conference CCL puts on. Gender, age, race, religious affiliation, and definitely interests, as you can see here. Me, myself, I'm more of a fiscal conservative. I probably don't work in the religious circles too well. I'm not very much faith-based. While I have faith, it's my own personal faith, and I can't talk to other religious groups about it. My favorite is definitely the clickbait. That's most of my family. Clickbait meaning your social media conservatives. A Facebook meme told me what to do. But as you can see, tons of different types of conservatives. So it's important to get to know the person to understand, where they actually fall on that conservative spectrum. All right, so safe areas for positive discussion. When you're out there and you're talking to somebody, we want to kind of, while tabling, presentations, rotary clubs, things like that are very useful and important to go and do, we really want to try to have our conversations in areas that aren't politically charged. So think of the hobbies that you do. I'm sure there's a lot of people on this call that like to kayak. I love to kayak. You may be of left center, I might be right of center. But that's a place where we might be out participating in, the same hobby together. Community events, going back to kayaking. I do a lot of work with Veterans for Clean Water and Savannah River Keeper. I like to go out with them, jump in the kayak, and pick up trash for 4 hours. Non-political clubs. Country clubs or any type of club that you might belong to, book clubs. Places that are not, again, not politically charged. Children's extracurricular activities. I absolutely love this one. Everybody wants to see their kids be good, upstanding citizens. They put them in things like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, 4-H, FFA, you name it, an activity like that where, people from all different walks of life are enrolling their kids in these things and coming together over their types over those events. So it's definitely a very extensive list. Be creative. Think of areas that are not political where you can still have these discussions. All right, so non-political event ideas. Clean up parks and rivers. I talked about the Savannah River Keeper and Veterans for Clean Water. Going into like the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, you can host a merit badge workshop. If you have strong knowledge in areas, like environmentalism and things like that, those groups offer a ton of merit badges, offer to teach that merit badge. That puts you in the room teaching these kids about sustainability. And while they're working, it allows you to have conversations with the parents that are in the room and who knows what their political background is going to be. And then if it applies to you, faith-based workshops are always great. And then put on your CCL swag if you have them. Let them know who you are. That's kind of like a billboard. And they come up to you and they ask, who's Citizens Climate Lobby, because you're doing it under that umbrella. They become interested in you and want to know more. All right. So, what are the benefits of kind of operating in these areas instead of the more politically charged ones? It's definitely a more relaxed setting. The people that you're talking to aren't expecting to, get preached at. So it's more conversational based, less presenting and waiting for a debate. You have much longer discussions. It's hard to disappear if you're locked into a kayak for 4 hours on the river. So you just get to sit there and talk. You have the ability to build true relationships. I'm not preaching at you at a 3 minute elevator pitch at some table. I'm getting to know Tamara, not the CCL volunteer that I just bumped into. Understanding effective usage of the people that are recruited. So if I have a better understanding of the type of person that I'm talking to, they may be more shy and they don't want to give presentations, but they're really good at doing research. Then I kind of know where to plug them into my group when they do come in. So we get to use them in a manner that they're most comfortable. And if they're most comfortable, they're going to be most efficient. And it removes political confirmation bias. Again, I'm not talking to a left-leaning member. I'm talking to Tamara, who I share this interest of kayaking with, and many other interests. So I'm not coming into it thinking I'm talking to somebody that's, extremely liberal. I'm just talking to somebody who I know and respect. All right, so building relationships and positive communication. So the very first step to, building a relationship is earning the trust. This is the core feature of effective dialogue. If I don't trust the person that I'm talking to and they don't trust me, what foundation do I have to really take anything they say as credible? CCL's values, they can create a solid foundation for earning trust. When you approach a conversation, with all of those values in mind of being nonpartisan, being optimistic, all of that good stuff, having integrity, that shows that you are a true and honest person, and yes, you have issues that you care about, but you also care about the people and how they're affected by those issues, and you care about those people's interests, and you can start making connections. So let's talk about how we do this. The first thing to do is slow down. We want to have organic conversation. If you're walking down the street and somebody comes running up to you and shoves a clipboard in your face, you're probably not going to be so receptive. So, but if somebody comes up to you and says hi and starts showing genuine interest in you as a person, you're much more liable to have a productive conversation with them. But you got to be present. So as you're talking to somebody, actually listen to them, practice active listening, repeat back and paraphrase what they say so that they know that they're being heard. And you actually have to be interested in what they're saying. It doesn't really work if you're, trying to play chess and you're 10 steps ahead and, trying to, what you're really listening to is how you can work climate change into the discussion. Actually, just take a minute, be interested in them. We're running a marathon here, not a sprint. This isn't a tabling event. You have this person's ear. You have time to engage with them. You're not trying to spit as much information at them in, 2 to 3 minutes before they move on to the next booth. So just take your time, build a relationship, get to know them. Listen first. Understand the interests of the individual. So when we're talking to somebody that's right of center, well, let's start here. When we talk to somebody that's left of center, a lot of times climate is that major issue. Me as a, you know, somebody that's right of center, I may be concerned with climate, but it's because of how climate affects my top tier issue. So I'm worried about the economy. Climate is just a part of that. If you try to talk to me about just climate, I'm probably not going to listen. But if you want to talk to me about economy and how climate is impacting the economy, I am much more inclined to really hear you out. But in order to do that, you have to listen to the things that I'm actually mainly concerned about. You know, and if it is possible, don't try to force anything and bluff, but if it is possible, demonstrate agreement or at least understanding. You know, phrases like, you know, I can definitely understand why that's an issue to you. I can understand your concerns with this. Show that you are hearing them and that you care about what they're saying. All right, express your concerns. We had the listening part, and hopefully you're engaging with someone. It's not always going to work this way, but hopefully you're engaging with someone that you've provided them the opportunity to talk while you genuinely listen. Now they're, you know, typically in normal conversation, it goes back the other way. So this is your chance to express your concerns, but speak honestly. If you're not a duck hunter and you go in there and you try to present yourself as a duck hunter, you know, talking to other duck hunters, they're going to see right through it. So talk honestly. Relate it though to their concerns. You know, things going back to like duck hunting, I'm just talking about what I know here. Talking to me about how the polar vortexes and the cold fronts that push, you know, the ducks down to the south are, you know, messing up the migration patterns. Well, I'm concerned about duck hunting. Now, tell me more about what you know about climate science and how it's impacting this. Discuss what you're doing about it as a citizen lobbyist. So what are you doing in CCO? How are you addressing this? Make sure to plug those buzzwords in there. Like, it's a nonpartisan organization. We have people from both the left and the right of center working together to come up with solutions and advocate for solutions to our elected officials that, you know, consider both perspectives to, you know, in order to develop a policy that's long lasting and doesn't really favor one side or the other. It favors everybody. Give an example of the policies that benefit their concern. So if we're talking about, you know, permitting reform, what does that do for getting rid of, you know, all that bureaucratic red tape? You know, how do we cut that red tape out and make it more streamlined and, you know, less expensive for clean energy projects to get started? Or things like EICDA, the Energy Innovation Act. You know, me being a Republican, I'm all about free market and limited government overreach. Those are things that you can talk to me about from the perspective of that policy that will definitely resonate with me. And we want to keep it as positive as possible. The doom and gloom does not work. Unless somebody is already there, you know, and they're already involved in the climate arena and they've already bought into everything, that doom and gloom is just going to turn them off. The crisis, the emergency, it may be an emergency to you, but it's not going to be an emergency to everyone. So what we want to do is we're trying to help people along, you know, this path to becoming climate advocates. So what we want to do is, you know, approach it from a positive way. You know, hey, we have these solutions that benefit so much more in all these different areas while also addressing these concerns over here around climate. We can do this. It's not, if we don't do it, the world's going to burn tomorrow. All right, tell stories. This is probably the most important tool that I can say. Stories are relatable. We have personal experiences. Share your story, your personal story about how you came to, you know, really be passionate about this topic. And understand that we have the rational brain and the emotional brain, and we want to find that intersection. For me, like the rational side of it, I'm worried about the economy. I am worried about, you know, these factual stuff and how different policies can impact them. But my emotional brain is worried about my children, you know, and how they're going to live in that stuff. And that intersection happens between, all right, how does climate impact the economy? And how does the economy impact my kids? And I crafted my story around all of that. You know, and that is why I am here doing the work, is for my daughters. I don't think we have that video. Maybe we can add that at a later time. It's the video talking about my personal story. Most of you probably saw it on the info session if you attended, but my personal story of how I came to work on climate policy. All right, so what are some of our roadblocks to progress? All right, interacting across the aisle. Some of the things that really set us back and prevent us from doing this effectively, one is a confirmation bias. When you go into, you know, to present, or when you know that you're talking to a known Republican and you get that confirmation bias in your head, this isn't going to go well. You know, the last three that I talked to all shut me down immediately. You're gearing yourself up to not have an effective conversation. You're already getting your debate points in your head and how you're going to fight back and, you know, try to prove them wrong. You know, and it's kind of those things that, you know, like iron sharpens iron. If you go in hostile, you're going to get hostile. So just remove the confirmation bias, you know, and really think of this as you're talking to a person, because that's what we are. We may be Republican, but we're still people. And if, you know, being talked to as a person, communicating like a human, can produce all kinds of great results. So just, I'm just talking to people, talking to speak and not to listen. So I talked a little bit earlier about playing chess in the conversation, where you're not really hearing them. You're just looking for your place where you can interject the debate point that has been in your head for the last 3 minutes, and you're not hearing a word that's coming out of their mouth. So I just want to talk to you. I want to get my point across. I don't really care where you stand. I just want you to hear me and hear my urgency and bend to my will and do what I want you to do. It's never going to work. We need to help people understand why it works best for them to address this issue for their own reasons. Next one is pushing too hard, too fast. Republicans, there may be some exceptions out there who dove right into this head first. Typically, it takes a life-changing moment, such as myself having the birth of my daughters. But a lot of Republicans, they're kind of just dipping their toes into this. They are interested. They are concerned. But it is a big move to come outside of your social circle and go against the norm. So when they get to their chapters, if they get bombarded by, you know, oh, you're a Republican, we want you to push this LTE, we want you to do this op-ed, we want you to go talk to this group of people, they get overwhelmed. And what we have seen is they tend to fall out of the organization completely. Like they're dipping their toes in the water. Let them get comfortable. Let them develop how they're going to develop before we start putting too much workload on them. Speaking on things you may not know. I've said this numerous times. I don't think I need to hammer it too much harder. But if you talk about stuff that you don't know, you're going to lose all credibility, especially if the person that you're talking to does know a lot about it. And then giving up because of unmanaged expectations. What's that phrase? You miss 100% of the shots you never take. Have the conversations. Even if that person is debating you and you're like, I'm never going to change this person's mind, you do not know who is listening outside of that initial interaction. The third party viewers, I like to call it. Have the discussion anyway, even if it seems futile. I cannot tell you how many times I have been talking to somebody and it's just like talking to a wall. But then the minute that conversation is done, somebody who was just out of, you know, my range comes over to me and says, hey, I heard a lot of what you were saying and I am interested. Can you talk to me more about it? So always have the conversations, always have the conversations, no matter how difficult they may seem.
Well, thank you so much, Drew. You got some good feedback in the chat, and I just want to take a few minutes to just close things up for the evening. We hope that you feel like you can walk away, like you feeling like you learned something today. Maybe you enjoyed yourself. And we really appreciate you taking the time to work on improving your communication skills or your perspectives or whatever it is, especially for those of you on the East Coast. Closer to the East Coast, it's pretty late to be doing climate stuff and communication stuff. So if you do have any questions, thoughts, critiques, or just want to talk, you can reach out to Drew personally, drew.ierley@citizensclimate.org. And if you have found any of the links that we have shared in the link useful, they're all in the speaker's notes. You can also log any of your actions through the action tracker in the future for logging trainings. You just click on chapter and volunteer development. Start typing the first four letters of the training name and it will show up right there. So thank you for being here. Drop some links into the chat if you want to reference those. We appreciate all of your time and preparedness. with this webinar, Drew, and we appreciate each of you for being here, and have a wonderful evening. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.